I'm Jim Stevenson. Welcome to The Game Room. Three second-half goals lifted the Seattle Sounders past Toronto FC to the U.S. Major League Soccer Championship in front of a sellout crowd of more than 69,000 people at CenturyLink Field in Seattle. Down 1-0 at halftime, Sounders coach Brian Schmetzer regrouped his players.
I think there was some nerves there in the first half. I think there was some, plays where guys needed to be a little bit more composed. As the game kind of grew, especially in the second half, I think they settled down a little bit. We tried to settle them down at halftime. The halftime speech was not ranting and raving or anything like that. It was more firm, just, okay, look, this is what we need to do. This is what we're going to try and change.
Kelvin Leerdam, Victor Rodriguez, and Raul Ruidíaz each netted a Seattle goal. Rodriguez was named MLS Cup Most Valuable Player and says keeping the ball away from Toronto was the key to winning.
It was hard for us because Toronto played very well, but I think in the second half we try a little bit more our soccer, our football. We keep a little bit more the possession, and this is, for me, was a key for the game. No, I'm proud for all my teammates. I think we deserve that, and I'm really happy.
Toronto FC coach Greg Vanney says the season was a bit of a roller coaster ride with distinct highs and lows.
The season felt like three seasons in one in some ways, but the latter part of it was such a joy and a pleasure with this group, and I think they left everything on the field. We went on the road and played two very good teams prior to this and came up with two very big results, and we felt confident that we could do it today, and unfortunately we fell short.
Seattle forward Jordan Morris could hardly believe the outcome.
It's hard to put into words. It's amazing. It's just a surreal moment for me personally, for this team. Obviously, it's a big moment in this club's history. Just so proud of everyone. It's been a team effort all year.
Sounders goalkeeper Stefan Frey said his team rose to the challenge when needed to secure the second MLS Cup trophy in franchise history.
You know, it wasn't our best game. We surrendered a lot of possession, but possession doesn't really necessarily mean everything. And then when we did get our chances, we were ruthless. We were good. Guys were hungry to make a difference up top, you know? And I appreciate that. It's the reason why we're always going to talk today.
The season-ending ATP Finals are underway in London with the top men's tennis players in action and with an incredible comeback. Rafael Nadal showed why he's number one in the world.
Today is one of these days that, as I say, on the court, one time of 1,000, you lose this match. And happened today. So very happy for that. Very sorry for him, honestly, because lose a match like this is tough and it's painful. So I feel very sorry for Daniil.
Russian Daniil Medvedev was Nadal's victim in his first round-robin match. And not just any win. Nadal came back from 1-5 down and match point in the third set to pull off an incredible 6-7, 6-3, 7-6 win.
In that moment, you play with not much pressure because you know you are almost lost. With the 5-3, of course, I started to believe, because being only one break away, why not? I need to be there, I need to create the moment.
Nadal won the French Open and U.S. Open this season after coming back from injury.
Having a very solid year for my side, no? And especially with all the problems that I had at the beginning of the season, that doesn't matter.
He is one Grand Slam title away from matching Roger Federer's record of 20. He's also trying to end 2019 at number one, while not aggravating a recent small stomach tear before he heads off to the Australian Open. All of his accomplishments, along with this amazing win, have delivered Nadal an amazing year.
Yeah, able to come back that way have been a very positive year in all ways. So very happy about the things, and for me have been great, it's fine.
France has defeated host Australia to win the Fed Cup tennis title, as we're joined by Craig Gabriel, who was courtside in Perth.
The Marseillaise echoed around the arena in Perth, Western Australia. France had begun their celebration. The last point had been played. It was championship point three when the Aussie tandem of Ash Barty and Sam Stosur sent the ball long in the doubles, the deciding match of the final of the Fed Cup. Kiki Mladenovic and Caroline Garcia were spread-eagled on the court as the rest of the French Fed Cup team, led by captain and former player Julien Benneteau, swamped their doubles combination. It's been a 16-year wait for this moment. France scored a 3-2 victory over Australia, itself in a huge drought, both climatic and tennis-wise. For 45 years, the home nation hasn't won the premier prize in women's team tennis. The final day started with the tie locked at 1-1. The first reverse singles was Barty against Mladenovic, and the Australian was almost a whisker from taking the match. She had break point, and if she had converted, she would have served for a straight set victory and a 2-1 lead, but it was not to be, as Mladenovic never let up and never lost confidence as she won 2-6, 6-4, 7-6, crushing the breaker 7-1. Her emotions were overflowing after the match.
For sure, it's one of my nicest moments and emotions on court, even though during the season and in the past years I had wins over top 10 and also against number 1, but this one is special because it's, you know, final for the country, for the team, in front of an amazing packed crowd, and it's a different environment than on the WTA Tour.
Quite possibly the break point of the 8th game of the second set was the crux of the final. The win gave France a 2-1 advantage, but the final was levelled when Alia Tomljanović, who had a horror of a match on the first day, rose to the occasion. To borrow a line from Dickens, events like Fed Cup and Davis Cup can produce the best of times and the worst of times. Tomljanović beat Pauline Parmentier 6-4, 7-5.
Yeah, it just shows you it's tennis. You know, I was really not surprised, but also flattered that they still backed me for today after yesterday's performance. They believed in my ability, and that's kind of all you can ask for from a team like that. And I'm just happy that I could have contributed in any way and give them a chance to, you know, win it.
In the doubles, Mladenovic capped probably the finest weekend of her career by winning the doubles with Garcia 6-4, 6-3 over Barty and Stosur. Barty, the world number one, explained that this is a tough pill to swallow.
Well, I mean, I think you can see how much it means to all of us, and yeah, obviously it's bitterly disappointing to be sitting here not with the result that we're after, but all in all, it's about taking a little bit of perspective, and this team, this group of girls, I wouldn't want to be sitting here with anyone else. It's been an amazing journey, amazing time of the year for us, and to be able to be in a Fed Cup final is something that is very precious. We'll cherish it, and it will drive us more for next year.
This is France's third Fed Cup championship. In 2003, they defeated the USA and Russia, and in 1997, they beat the Dutch in the Netherlands. Surprisingly, France has never won the competition at home. This final was historic in a way because it's the last time the overall home and away format will be played. Next year in April, it goes to a one-week format, and it'll be the shortest period of time a nation has held the Fed Cup. Craig Gabriel, VOA Sports, Perth.
It's hard to put into words. It's just been a crazy day.
Four playoff holes were needed to decide which of the six golfers involved would win the Turkish Airlines Open. Tyrrell Hatton of England was the last man standing.
The playoff was mental, and I'm so happy to win again. And yeah, it's incredible to get my fourth win on the European Tour.
The field was cut in half on the first extra hole, including South African Erik van Rooyen.
I'm obviously bleak about the tee shot I just hit in the playoff, but, you know, what a week it's been. So I'm really happy I gave myself a chance. That's what we did today. We got off to a hot start. I finished with an eagle on 18 to get in the playoff, and that's what you want.
Victor Perez of France was out.
You try to make the best out of what you got. That's all you can really do. You know, there's good breaks, bad breaks. You know, at the end of the day, you know, if I hit my drive into the fairway and hit my shot into the green, I can make three and win the tournament, or make four and keep on going. You know, obviously, you know, it is what it is.
French compatriot Benjamin Herbert also struggled from the tees.
My driving is not very good, so I can't be aggressive from the tee. I'm always playing like a little shy. And then, well, that I think it missed me just that this week, but I mean, it's a very consistent one, and I'm still okay.
American Kurt Kitayama lasted through three of the four playoff holes.
It was pretty fun, you know. I'm a little disappointed, but to get myself right back in it today and to get myself at a win, you know, it's pretty amazing, you know.
The closest challenger to Hatton was Matthias Schwab of Austria.
It was a close call. I had some good looks and good chances coming on the stretch on in regular play and didn't take advantage of them. Yeah, I think it's still a second place finish, which is obviously not too bad.
Not only did he win the tournament, but Tyrrell Hatton won a very coveted prize that he won't collect until the first major next year in Augusta, Georgia.
Obviously, that wraps up the Masters for next year as well, which was definitely on my mind coming into the tournament, and I knew I only had two events left in my schedule, so delighted to win and obviously wrap that up.
South African Gary Player is one of golf's greatest legends. This week, players gather to compete at the Nedbank Golf Challenge that Player hosts. Lee Westwood of England is the defending champion.
Yeah, it's great. I always look forward to coming back to Sun City. It's a brilliant resort and a great golf course. Obviously, I've done well around here as well, so, you know, that brings back good feelings. And yeah, it's nice to be back and defending a tournament.
With prior success, Westwood is confident he can win again.
I know the course well. You know, I know where they put the flags. I read these greens pretty well as well, so distance control, you know, with the elevation changes and the extremes in temperature, you know, all come into that. So, you know, I have a pretty good game plan for the course and, you know, I know how to handle the variations in conditions.
English compatriot Tommy Fleetwood will be there.
Just the way scheduling works, sometimes can't do everything, and last year this one missed out, and then you come back and you think, why would I not play this one? It's just feel great as soon as you arrive here. You know, love the golf course, love the atmosphere, love the resort, and everybody does really, so it's just nice to be back.
Fleetwood hopes to join some of the greats who were past winners.
You can't output this golf course. You have to put well, obviously, but you can't output it. You can't start winging it everywhere and then expect to get away with it. So I think that's a really good thing, and I think if you look at list of winners from Lee, Ernie, Nick Price, Seve, Sergio Henrik, it's a strong list of ball strikers, and I would very much like to be on that list.
Bernd Wiesberger of Austria is ready for some of the unique challenges at Sun City.
First of all, we are here at high altitude, so you have to really trust your yardages. The way the ball is flying, it's going a long way further, and really need to trust your clubs into the greens, and don't be hesitant, but just go for it and be positive and aggressive about it.
And
you want to stay out of the bush.
And
it's going to be tricky putting as well. So it's really good overall test of your games.
The Game Room opens with new stories each week, or play anytime on voanews.com.